The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Diamond Gray, Daniel Tagg, Jill Lane, and Lexi and Aviana. Oh my gosh, it was the way you pulled out your pen.
Oh.
It was the way it cracked me up. He looked so serious. I'm like, wow, he looked serious right before we went live. I just glanced over at him. He was looking down. Yeah. Daniel was.
He went into game mode.
Well, he did. He was taking out his pen and he looked like he was ready to kill someone. I'm
He's
serious.
Ready to slay his information.
I'm ready to kill some notes.
I love that pen. What's the name of that pen?
What is it? It's a tactical pen, but it's made by Stat Gear. But it's a tactical pen, so it's a reinforced, you know, steel pen that has the ability to both
kill
write
people.
And kill
show
people.
Show her the point. Yeah. Look at this.
The main thing is
it's heavy too.
Yeah, the main thing is like you can use a pen as a self defense weapon, but it's usually going to break off in your hand. So this is reinforced with
steel. This is purposeful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then
it is a weapon. I'm just catching
pen.
Up.
Yeah.
30 seconds later.
You can
today.
Use the pointy end that you write with, right? Obviously, to, you know, hit someone in soft tissue, eyes, throat, groin, whatever. But if you have a cap on.
Soft
in a
tissue.
Yeah.
Always go for the soft tissue.
Exactly. But if you have the cap on a regular pen, it's not going to be good for striking someone in the soft tissue. So this one still
has. That's what I always say.
Yeah, this one still has like a little point thing on the end of it so you can hit someone. Or you can break out the glass in your car if you get.
Okay,
if you
okay,
go
now
in
you're
water
talking my language.
Or something like that.
Say
yeah,
soft tissue again.
Soft tissue.
I had no idea they made pen. Is that pen made for that purpose?
Yes.
Self-defense?
Yes.
For
it
soft
is a tactical
tissue.
Pen. And this is TSA approved. I can take this on planes, go backstage.
Oh, don't give anybody any ideas.
I know,
Daniel,
right?
Please.
But this is for self-defense. Like, it would be hard to hold a plane hostage with this. Like,
sure,
you're not
going
to hold this to someone's throat.
I'd kick him in the teeth.
Yeah.
In the soft tissue.
Teeth are not soft tissue. The groin, that's soft tissue.
I've got a pretty good high kick still to this day.
So I believe
I might be able
to do
that.
I've seen your jump roping skills.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can jump.
Jump roping seems to be back. I've been seeing a lot of younger people in the gym do a lot of jump roping. I mean, it's a great exercise.
It
just
it is.
I've been seeing more of it lately. I don't wonder why.
Well, yeah, I could have competeted internationally. I really could have. I mean, there was a time when I used to jump like 2 hours a day.
It's unbelievable.
And
wow.
I think my record is like almost 2 hours. I think I missed twice in between that 2 hours. And
just nonstop?
I was just like, yes, like a machine. It used to be a meditation for me.
Well,
I'm not kidding you.
That's good. The meditation. Otherwise, I'd get bored.
Yes.
I've done it for a half an hour as a warm up
for
martial arts.
I would do it
even
to music.
Half an hour.
Well, I would do it
that's
to music. And I would go off into the zone.
Yeah. That's
and just
good.
Go off.
So,
and,
like, do you have to have, like, tell me what kind of gear, like, what kind of jump rope do you have to jump rope for 2 hours?
Well,
like a weighted, a really nice,
no,
like,
you know what?
Or what?
I was trained by a person that has passed, but his name was George Stevens. He was married to my boyfriend's sister, and he was a tremendous athlete. Anyway, I remember when I first started, I literally was jumping like this, you guys.
Okay.
She's
getting
standing
up.
She has on boots and a skirt.
Oh, there we go.
And it's like a
it's a very poor
hop.
Jump. Yeah, it's like
really
hit one foot, then hit the other one.
Coordination.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
very
was
off.
Like totally terrible at it.
Yeah.
And he said, keep going, keep going. I remember doing it at the sidewalk and in front of my boyfriend's house. I was probably like, I don't know, 17 when I started. And then I just kept jumping and I didn't stop. And then I became like Forrest Gump. Like you couldn't stop me. All I wanted to do was jump. I'm serious.
So what's your jumping technique of choice? Is it like the 2 foot synchronous hop or like 1 foot? Other foot, 1 foot, one, you know what I'm saying? Like
go,
alternating feet?
Well,
or do you mix it up for 2 hours? You're mixing it up,
so
right?
She's getting off and she's showing. So she's
okay,
kind of dancing
dance
while doing
roping.
It and like almost hopscotching
dance
to the
roping.
Side.
Dance roping. You
yeah.
should bring that back as like dance a roping. Gym class. Dance roping.
You know that
trademark
that. There's actually
that
a,
would be fun.
There's
jump roping in a class to music.
I'll
dance
get it
roping.
On.
That you could do it. You just have to have enough room. But there's actual jump rope camps. Like people go to summer camp and it's a jump rope camp. Like I met this guy that
my
was
kids
like
would
a
be
CrossFitter
all in on that right
it.
Now.
It's so much fun and it's so healthy for you. My gosh.
My 5-year-old's like really into jump roping right now.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, and not coincidentally, that's when I was the fastest runner, too, because, yep. you know, my endurance, which is what we're going to talk about with you today, mm-hmm. Training for Endurance with Daniel Tagg. And Jill Lane is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach. I love having you guys in the studio together because it's like a bam, bam, nutrition, fitness,
left,
all in
right.
one.
Left,
yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah.
I you know, need a pen like that. Now I'm kind of like eyeballing that pen.
It's a nice pen. Let me get you one for Christmas.
There we go.
Okay. Thanks, Mom. I just didn't know they made stuff like that. I'm still wrapping my brain. Like, mm-hmm. I am so out of touch with self-defense.
Well, I have a...
mechanisms.
What's the thing that I brought in? The
Oh, it was the taser gun.
I have a taser.
But also, it had
I found
the ability...
It.
Yeah, it had the ability to shoot, like, you know,
shoot
electrodes,
taser.
Right?
Yeah.
But then if someone came up close, you could hit them with the butt of it, and it was like a taser.
Yep. You can
awesome.
Shoot, I think, was it 15 feet?
Yeah, I think it was 15 feet. And then they had multiple cartridges
like
so you could reload.
It's like a fish hook if it gets in them.
Yeah, it's like, really hard to pull out.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah. yeah, I've never had to use
it,
I
wouldn't
want
to have to retrieve it, though, if someone's coming at you. You know, like, you don't have to retrieve
well,
the
Well, you
hook.
Got the thing on the other end. If you didn't get them the first time, you bump them again a couple times with mm-hmm. the other end of it and really knock them out
yep.
if you had to,
then you
rather
get your
than
hook
kill
back?
Somebody. Huh?
Then you get your hook back?
Yeah, exactly. No, you rip it out. You don't worry about getting the hook back.
You get your real gun, and then you run out of the house and call the police.
The hook being in there prevents or deters the offensive guy from taking out so where you can't continue to get volts into him.
Got
yeah.
it, got
if it's
got
hurting
it, got
the, for him to rip it out, he's less likely to pull it out.
Makes sense.
Yeah. yeah. And wow. I know how to shoot a gun, but I don't want to shoot a gun. I don't. It's such a violent thing to do. And so I that's why I got
The taser gun.
The taser gun, yeah. Well, it was missing for like 3 years. I finally found it in my office when I organized all my books. It was hidden under a bunch of books.
Isn't it amazing mm-hmm. what you find when you start cleaning
oh my
up
gosh.
Your stacks?
Well, you know, absolutely. And Jill, this is something you can relate to. So the first thing I did this morning was cry. And my daughter said, "Don't start, Mom, don't start." And I was like, okay.
Is that her last day
it's
of school?
It's her last day of school.
Okay.
At her beautiful little school that has been like, oh, God, send heaven for me. This perfect little place, White Rock Montessori. She's been there since she was a small child, and tonight, and I'm hosting the graduation party at my home, and I made my macaroni and cheese. You can actually see a slow-mo picture on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I think we're putting mm-hmm. it out. And it's like a meditation. So you watch it and you just breathe and relax for
breathe
60
with the
seconds.
Cheese.
Breathe with the cheese. Yeah, but
what do you make the noodles out of?
I use Italian noodles and
these are legit noodles.
You know what's funny? I knew the noodle name would come up today, and I actually looked at the bag twice and pronounced it.
Yeah.
It's like Lugari or something like that, and that's probably not right because I'm not that good at guessing, as we know before we open the show with Carla Cornwell.
You were pretty legit actually on that.
I was trying to find a woman in the book Tool of Titans by Tim Ferriss. Carolyn Paul is the woman I was reading about. Real quickly, she illegally climbed the Golden Gate Bridge. Is that not cool or what?
Sounds like something fun,
like to
for
the
sure.
top.
Yeah,
I didn't read it yet, but I saw it and I was like, oh, I got to earmark that, you know. And I want to get her on because I'm not going to spill the beans, but she's got a very interesting story. Obviously, if she's in Tim Ferriss's book,
what page is that so I can mark it back home?
It is Carolyn Paul, mm-hmm. and it is page 459. And here's an interesting fact about Carolyn. She has an identical twin who was a superstar on Baywatch. So she's probably hot, too, don't you think?
Well, if her identical twin was on Baywatch,
that's part
then,
of
yeah.
the screen casting
probably.
For that show, yeah?
Yeah.
Hot.
How cool would that be to, like, climb? I don't like the illegal part, mm-hmm. but you know, I don't want to go to jail, but it might be worth it to climb the Golden Gate Bridge like that. Would that not be so B.A.?
That would be fun.
I mean, it would. How do they chase you down? I mean,
yeah.
Hey, you, come
oh, gosh.
Down from up there.
Well, they
yeah.
just wait
what
until
do
you,
they do?
They just wait
Take
until
a helicopter?
You come down. We'll just wait until you come down and arrest you.
Yes.
That's what I would
oh,
do.
Oh, my gosh. So when I was taking my daughter to school this morning, do you ever have anyone that thinks that they own the road? They think they're like Mr. King of the Road.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking
every
about?
Every day, right?
Okay, so there's this one place on 635 where I try to get on 30 and go west, okay? And no one ever goes that way from that direction. They're usually continuing on 635. Anyway, every day almost, I always like get on there and then people know, the people that drive there regularly know that people that want to get on the far right want to go up the ramp to go 30 west, okay? And so anyway, Mr. King of the Road wouldn't let me over and it was her last day of school and I'm like, I am not going to be late. So I had to go into X mode on my Subaru and go off road for the first time and it was so awesome, you guys. Like you couldn't even tell I did it. And it was, Nia was like, whoa, where are you going, Mom? You know, and off the road we went. that. And it was awesome. And I drove like 20 miles an hour in X mode.
Nice.
And then jumped back on the freeway. And I was like, hey,
Cornwell.
So is X mode like four-wheel drive mode?
X mode? Yeah, okay. X mode. It puts it in four-wheel drive. Yeah.
Cool.
It's always,
did you honk and wave when you went by Mr. King of the Road?
No, I just said, take that, Mr. King of the Road.
But it's all-wheel drive? It's all-wheel drive.
It's all-wheel drive,
so just kind of put it in a lower gear. Then.
Yeah, and then you can go straight down into a riverbank. You need to get a Subaru.
Yeah.
You really do. And then you can go, you can climb buildings almost if you wanted to. It goes, I'm serious.
The Golden Gate Bridge.
There you go.
You might be able to do it.
Climb it.
And your Subaru.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have a really tremendous show coming up today. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got Daniel Tagg and Jill Lame are going to be talking about training for endurance and the most common nutrient deficiencies. Continued with Jill Lane. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans. But they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem, Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education. And I wished he would come back, my snake. For he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
This is Jill with the One Life Radio Fueling Champions Minute. Did you know magnesium is a cofactor in more than 300 enzyme systems that regulate diverse biochemical reactions in the body, including protein synthesis, muscle and nerve function, blood glucose control, and blood pressure? Magnesium is required for energy production, oxidative phosphorylation, and glycolysis. That's a mouthful. How do you know if you're getting enough? Signs and symptoms of possible magnesium deficiency include restless leg syndrome, agitation, insomnia, muscle stiffness, cramping, and aches. Well, where do you find magnesium? Food sources include raw almonds, leafy greens like cooked spinach and chard, raw cashews, pumpkin seeds, black beans, avocados, and my favorite, dark chocolate. Don't forget those Epsom salt baths and be smart about supplementation. This has been the One Life Radio Fueling Champions Minute.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagazineonline.com. That's paleomagazineonline.com.
It's time to turn back to nature and the wonderful plants that capture solar energy in a near magical way and then offer it to us so freely. Join Sun Warrior in our mission to renew ourselves, our minds, our bodies, and our world. Together, we can truly transform the planet one warrior at a time. Visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
delegate.
Who's
this
song?
Brandon? This is Baltimora, and it's Tarzan Boy.
Tarzan Boy? I don't think I've ever heard that.
Right? Right? And Diamond's in there. Thank you, Diamond. I love this song. I'll play this in my car sometimes and just roll along doing the whoa, which I was completely off tune. That's why I'm starting singing lessons tomorrow morning. It's my first one.
Get out. Ooh, that is amazing.
I swear I am. I've always loved to sing. Everybody loves to sing, though, don't you think?
I don't.
What?
You don't? Not even in the shower? Yourself in the shower?
I never sing in the shower.
Do you hum?
No.
What?
I love to sing.
The only time I sing out loud is at church and if I'm trying to keep myself awake while on long road trips at night.
Yeah.
You play the music.
Well, I can dance, so now I want to sing. I think I might do both. I'm gonna I just really want to be able to sing in front of a crowd.
And
we'll
you
get
know
you
what?
Out
so
there.
Good for your brain. I love it. Just great training for your brain
to
learn new things.
It is. Mm-hmm. So if I start singing a little bit every week, you'll know why. Because I'm testing my what do you call
your
them?
Pipes.
Don't say it.
Vocal
my pipes.
Parts?
Your pipes. Testing my pipes. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Jill Lane and Daniel Tagg.
Daniel. The new one.
All right, Daniel, let's get started.
Very
oh,
southern.
My gosh. Well, you know, Daniel, I love having you in studio. Daniel is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center, and he is certified in orthokinetics, the biomechanics of resistance training, and he is a licensed massage therapist and holds belts in three different martial arts systems. He was also a wildland firefighter. I love talking to this guy about training. He's just a really good guy. I actually like talking to you about anything. So Daniel's a man's man. He can talk about anything, right?
And we you're need shaking more of them.
Head. We do need more of them. Come on, all you good men. Step up.
Raise them up. We need to raise them up.
Oh, you got to challenge yourself. That's a problem.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, you're well more than qualified to talk about anything that has to do with fitness and training. And so are you, actually, Jill, with your background as a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach and founder of Chewling Champions.
I like with it.
Fueling Champions. Okay, and so today we're talking about training for endurance, part three. What else can we talk about with endurance?
We kind of talked about the weightlifting endurance, the running endurance. Now we're going to talk about the static or isometric endurance. Because that's a big thing, is being able to stabilize things while other things are moving.
Like a plank.
Yes, like a plank.
Planks are, do you remember when planking was crazy and everybody was planking and
on
taking...
On everything?
On everything. Mm-hmm. I even planked on top of my refrigerator one night.
That's really tall.
That's random.
I know. You remember? Were you there? I think you might have been there.
I don't think so. Maybe but
it was one
understand.
Of the kids.
I don't understand. Is your refrigerator like really long?
Yeah, that's why I'm trying
tall.
To picture it.
No, my refrigerator's really tall. I was being very stupid.
But how did you plank on it if you didn't have enough surface
was it
space?
That
for
was the point I of planking, sideways. Though. When it was like a thing, that was the point. Yeah. You had to plank on like the smallest surface
right.
and just like lay flat.
And so I put my body sideways on like probably a foot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like truly my waist and in the middle and then my
Superman
arms and
style.
Like, yeah. And I was in a little better shape then. I'm not sure I could do that tonight, but maybe
base
in a couple of weeks.
The macaroni and cheese.
Right.
So why is that so important for endurance?
So we have to be able to stabilize things as other things are moving, which is why people are always using the core workouts. That would be static isometric or static endurance, is working out the core and other things. Like as you're, a big thing is like shoulder stability is a big one that I'm always working on with multiple clients. And while we're doing a bicep, we can focus on the bicep curl, or we can focus on isometrically stabilizing those shoulder blades, not letting them move as you're trying to bend the elbow, because a lot of people kind of let the shoulders curl and stuff. So you could focus that exercise two different ways. You could focus on the bicep and the movement at the elbow, or you could focus on stabilizing the shoulder blades. We hardly ever really just focus on what we're stabilizing. We always focus on the moving thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we forget that thing can't move optimally, or at least focus on the muscle we want to, if other things aren't stabilizing.
Yeah.
So that's the importance.
Well, I know you work with pro athletes, NFL guys, Jill. I was thinking both of you. So when they get, I mean, they are in such tremendous shape by the time they finish college. When they start NFL, do they still have to continue to do endurance training?
Oh, yeah, all the time. They
all the time? It, like, never stops.
Yeah, never. You're always trying to get better. And even when you get in the NFL, I mean, you're still 21, 22. You still are not even close to your physical peak.
And just like anybody else, they still get deconditioned, meaning mm-hmm. during their off season, if they sat around for 3 or 4 months,
yeah,
they would lose their endurance. Mm-hmm. You know, they might not lose as much strength, that comes back a little quicker, but from an endurance standpoint, they certainly lose that.
Well, speaking of that, is that a good thing to do? If you work your body so hard, like 9 months out of the year, should you take 3 months off or just go into like maybe a, I don't know. Like
go into a maintenance. I wouldn't say take 3 months off. Like maybe take a couple weeks off. But then after that, maintenance and maybe slow progression, try to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the nerd term in our field is periodization. Mm-hmm. So it means that you chunk out the goals of your workout into periods of time. So in the off season, you're working on recovery. Maybe there was an injury that cropped up during the season and you need to specifically work on stabilization or some of the stuff that Daniel was talking about to help bring strength and mobility back to that area. So they're usually focused on that. Mm-hmm. And then towards the latter part of it, they start to ramp up to get back into the season that they're in right now, you know, OTAs and preseason and you know, the like.
And, you know, this kind of leads, this is kind of the next question I was going to ask you, and this goes for the NFL too. Do they train in the gym and outside the gym when they're training for endurance?
Constantly, yeah. They're always training in the gym. They're going to train their sports specific outside of the gym. Whether it be, you know, footwork stuff, or just actual, you know, if it's football, then they're running routes, they're practicing blocking drills, they're doing all that kind of stuff outside of the gym.
Well, and that kind of high-level performance like the NFL, it is multifaceted. I mean, you got guys, I remember Chris Spielman used to take ballet. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you think about that, and I'm sure jumping rope would behoove any NFL player as far as like, because when you get to that point, you know, of being able to jump rope, you know, really, really well, mm-hmm. your breathing capacity is amazing.
Increased.
Yeah, no, I mean, and if you roll it back to the student athletes, which I work with a lot in my business, where they're not spending a lot of time, as where Daniel's talking about, they're really good at training for their sport because mm-hmm. they're used to going to practice and, you know, doing their skills and drills, but they're not spending a lot of time in the gym really focusing on the stuff that you're talking about. And it's an area where I spend time really just educating parents, like, hey, your athlete wants to get stronger. They're trying to add healthy weight. They mm-hmm. have to be in the gym to help, you know, trigger that response in their body. So,
right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I didn't even see that. I was going to ask you, okay, so what are some good exercises for training static endurance? I didn't even read this. I swear to you, before I said it, it's the at the planks. Top of the list. Number A is planks.
Yes.
My mind just went there.
Yeah. Planks, and then, like, you know, everyone when they're rowing, like not rowing on like a machine to do cardiovascular type thing, but just doing a row like on a seated row machine to do weights, not letting the shoulders kind of come forward and what's called protracting, keeping them locked back the whole time. So again, you're stabilizing the shoulders while you're doing chest press. A lot of people really kind of let the shoulders roll, keeping mm-hmm. those shoulder blades back and down. While you're doing a squat, making sure that the spine doesn't flex or extend, just maintaining the spine in the upright position. Same thing as you're doing, you know, pull-ups is, you know, you're maintaining the spinal position, not arching from the back, letting the shoulders move while you're doing a pull-up. That's mm-hmm. important. You don't want to lock those down, but keeping the abs tight. If you want to add some rope climbs in there and put your legs out at 90 degrees, and that's a really big isometric for the spine and the abs and the hip flexors and all those as well.
I just love working out. I love talking about working out. I get excited when we talk about working out. Like, I wish I could work out right now. I'm serious. I want to go work out. I worked out yesterday. I did not get to work out today. I'm hoping I can squeeze it in somewhere before the graduation tonight. But posture is so important. Mm-hmm. You know, on and off the field or in and out of the gym, it makes a huge difference in how you look and feel mentally. So what about mental endurance?
So mental endurance is everything. Like David Goggins, his biggest thing is he runs, he's a former Navy SEAL, runs like ultra marathons of 100 to 100 plus miles. And that's working tons of physical endurance, right? But the mental endurance and fortitude you have for that is extreme. And that's actually why he does it. He doesn't do it for the physical. He does it so he's ready for the mental challenges in life. So he's working those mental calluses, mm-hmm. if you will. But anytime you're working on physical endurance, you're going to have mental endurance to be able to right. sustain that. While you're doing the jump rope, you're going to have – you are working mental endurance as you do that. As you study, as you meditate, all of these are – and being able to do it consistently through a long period of time, that's one of the biggest things about endurance is that can you do it over a long period of time, whether that's a half an hour, whether that's 30 seconds, whether that's multiple days with breaks in between, that is endurance. So when you're doing all these different things, I mean, studying and reading all the books that you do, that is working your mental endurance.
I love to read, too. Right? Well, you know, I was thinking about Iron Man. You know, the guys that typically win that are guys that are, do they still have the Iron Man?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They're typically a little older because they've got the, what it takes mentally to push on. They've got the perseverance.
It takes time to build that, too. So young people usually don't have that same mental endurance because they haven't put in the miles, the years, the decades of training that mental and physical endurance.
Absolutely. I love it. Love talking about it. Daniel Tagg, always a pleasure. You can find Daniel Tagg at Telos Fitness Center, next door to iHeartMedia, or at OneLifeRadio.com. We've got lots more coming up with Daniel and Jill Lane. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Get up off of that thing. Try to release that pressure. Get up off.
Wellbeing Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hi, everyone. It's Bernadette. Everyone knows that I'm a strong believer in the numerous health benefits of cannabinoids and CBD oils. As with any supplement, I always do my research and my homework to find the highest quality product on the market. That's why I'm so happy to announce our partnership with the H Hemp Company, founded by a group of the most experienced and respected names in the CBD community. H Hemp offers a line of innovative products that are all natural and tested for quality. Choose from flavorful oils, restorative body balm, and minty breath spray, all at affordable prices. And for every H Hemp product sold, the company makes a donation towards the fight against opioid and anti-anxiety drug addiction, an epidemic affecting millions of families across the nation today. H Hemp products produce a sense of calm, fight post-workout inflammation, and the company gives back to our community. What more could we ask for? Search online for H Hemp Company and use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. That's OLR for 20% off your first order.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code ONELIFE at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Do you know this song, Daniel?
No. Got the piano in there.
That's Jackson Brown.
Oh, Jackson Brown.
I'm gonna rid myself of help.
In the shade of the freeway.
This is a song you need to put on when you're going through that like really small like ghost town when you're on a road trip, you know, and you're just like kind of cruising out in the boonies.
Wondering who still lives there.
Yeah.
You still see some remnants of cars.
I love those towns personally. Like when I go through on my motorcycle or my car, like I love road trips.
I do too.
To take one in a few weeks.
Well, that's why I bought the Subaru. I can't wait to use that X mode button some more. You know, if I want to climb, I climb.
Seriously. I always just get curious about the story behind those towns.
Yes.
Like I said, who lives here still? They've got to have been here for generations to not have left this place.
Yep.
So curious about it.
I love hearing Jackson Browne in the background. I bought an adventure magazine, actually, a Time magazine of all the greatest national parks.
So cool.
In this country, it is beautiful. This country is beautiful. You don't have to fly to Europe, although I'm not saying that's not a bad idea because Italy is so great. and you know, just Europe, you know, getting an education by traveling. I did it when I was young. I don't travel so much anymore. I'm too busy doing this. But yeah, in our great country that we live in, there are some beautiful, beautiful mountains and lakes and rivers and just forest. And, you know, I can't wait to go on a road trip. I can't. I'm probably going to head to Colorado. That's where you're from, right? Both you guys are from Colorado. Yep. No wonder you're so cool.
That's what it is.
Explains it.
Both from Colorado.
Oh, my gosh. Well, always great to have these guys in the studio. Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center. He's certified in orthokinetics, biomechanics of resistance training, and he also holds belts in three different martial arts systems and was a wildland firefighter. Jill Lane is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach, and founder of Fueling Champions, which is a three-step performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents that support them. You can find Jill Lane at Team Fueling Champions. That's at Team Fueling Champions. That's on Instagram or her website, fuelingchampions.org. Always great having her in studio, as I said. Jill's been with the show from the very beginning. And today we're talking again about the most common nutrient deficiencies continued because, you know, we have access to so much in this country. It's hard to believe that we even have deficiencies in nutrients. But why do you think we do?
We were just talking about it during the break to a little bit. I think really one of the number one things is an increase in physiological demand, meaning we have more demand on our system than we've ever had before, mostly from things like pharmaceuticals and alcohol and other environmental toxins that just demand our body to be in a gear that it's not used to. And if, you know, people don't really realize that our vitamins and the nutrients in our body run all the enzymatic reactions. And so if you're in X mode and your car is on empty, you're not going to go very far.
Right.
Or if, you know,
what a great analogy.
Back in, you know, we used to drive sticks and you would put it in low gear, but you're trying to go fast. You hear the engine revving, but you're not going fast.
Yeah.
You can think of it like that in your brain. And so I was just having a conversation with a parent yesterday about how their child is struggling. He's having some issues. And he had some really interesting genetic testing done, which unveiled that he has an MTHFR genetic issue, which means that he has an issue with his methylation cycle and he's having some mood and focus issues in school. And so he's been on a host of medications. He's failed therapy for most of them. His genetics explained why. But when I said he needs to be on a folate methylation product. Mm-hmm. And when she went back to some pediatrician friends, their comment was, we don't have nutrient deficiencies in this country. And I'm like, this is not about a deficiency. He has an inborn error, if you want to call it that. It's like driving a car with a flat tire. We can't fix that, but we can put a spare tire on if we supplement it. And things will be better for him
if
we do. So
they get so indignant about it, too. It's like, dudes, we were all, Hippocrates was not wrong. Okay, he wasn't a medical doctor, was he? Right? Was he? I don't even know.
Philosopher?
He's a philosopher, but was he a medical doctor? He could have been both. But my point is, he was absolutely right on about nutrition. And we all need to open our minds about it. There is so much that we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, again, it's like the analogy I gave last time is, if we're all carrying around a pail and the pail holds our wellness and our health, we have to put more in the top of the pail to stay well, because there's holes in the bottom that drain us from stress to lack of sleep to pharmaceuticals to exposure to the pesticides that get sprayed on the grass outside, whatever it is. And the issue is that we're having far too many holes in the pail and we're not putting enough stuff in the top. We can get on the argument that food quality has gone down, and the research is half a dozen of one to another whether that's really the big problem. I think the biggest issue is, yes, we're not choosing enough of the right kinds of food, quality or not. We're just not eating enough of the right kinds of food. And we have too many things draining us of our supplies.
Well, and last week you touched on a couple. One of them was antibiotics. You read on your little cheat sheet there how many nutrients are basically depleted by simply taking a round of antibiotics.
Yeah, this is from just a local pharmacy, and you can find this information. I mean, I have a big book in my hand that's been around forever. It's called Drug-Induced Nutrient Depletions, written by a handful of pharmacists. Mm-hmm. And this is out of date. I'm sure they have a more new addition. But this one's from a local pharmacy, and it just says, hey, antibiotics, the common use, of course, bacterial infections, associated nutrient depletions from a probiotic. Of course, we all know about the good bacteria. You take your probiotic afterwards. But then it says biotin, inositol, which is like a B vitamin, folate, B1, B2, B6, B12, potassium, calcium, vitamin K, magnesium, and iron. And so who goes on that after taking an antibiotic?
So I have a question for you, Jill. My sister just got sick, and she has mono and all this other stuff, and mm-hmm. they put her on antibiotics, mm-hmm. and my mom has her on a probiotic at the same time. I know it's good to supplement afterwards with a probiotic, but does it counteract the antibiotic if you're taking the probiotic at the same time?
It doesn't counteract it, but the argument is, okay, is the antibiotic killing the good bacteria you're mm-hmm. ingesting? Mm-hmm. And then my thought is, you're just trying to outkick your coverage, to mm-hmm. use a term from football. We don't know. The answer is we don't know. We don't know how much of the good gut bugs that particular antibiotic is killing, mm-hmm. and we don't know if it's going to kill the probiotic you're taking, but I would do it for insurance sake. It's killing stuff every day, so I want to put back stuff every day. Does that make sense? Yep. In addition to that, I want to eat foods that help benefit the flourishment of more new bacteria, like fibrous foods, vegetables, mm-hmm. Fermented foods.
You know, I think of Anthony William and the book about thyroid healing. In there, it says that mononucleosis and herpes are all related to the Epstein-Barr virus. There's four different stages of it. The further you go in the stages, the further, the greater the disease, like fibromyalgia. Parkinson's, I think, is in there, or maybe it's MS.
But a lot of the autoimmune diseases, I'm sure.
Yes, autoimmune. MS. And then I got a book in the mail yesterday, Vaccines and Autoimmunity and the Changing Nature of Childhood Illnesses. And I question whether or not we have traded in, preventing ourselves from getting the measles or the mumps or the chicken pox and traded it in for all these autoimmune disorders mm-hmm. because we are over vaccinating our children. That's what I feel based on what I've read. And I just think that we need to take a closer look, and maybe we made a mistake by making so many vaccines, mm-hmm. by letting these pharmaceutical companies run our country. That's what I feel they've done.
I mean, I think the biggest thing I try to leave the listeners with when we talk about all this stuff is that you are in charge of your health. It's your responsibility to ask questions. So the biggest gift I hope I gave this woman I was talking yesterday was a list of questions, both for her own thought-provokingness and for her physician and all the physicians working with her son, because we can't be the blind leading the blind anymore. And unfortunately, our medical staff is not trained in nutrition. So they are the blind leading the blind when it comes to nutrition, unless they've sought outside of their own time, like all the rest of us do in our industries, to go get more continuing education and stuff that we want to learn and grow in. Unless mm-hmm. they've sought that out, then that's not their scope. And I just wish that they would recognize that and say, you know what, instead of saying, oh, we don't have deficiencies, they would say, you know what, I don't know, there's some interesting data, let me refer you to someone who would be more wise to speak to them.
Oh gosh, don't even get me started. It makes me think of cannabinoids and cannabidiol. And Look at all the healing that has taken place from that supplement. All the different people that have relieved all kinds of suffering just by something like that. That is a plant that grows on the earth that we are meant to have. We have an endocannabinoid system. And why should a doctor or a pharmacy, a pharmaceutical company, be able to tell us, or the FDA, oh, no, you don't need that. We're checking into it. I mean, it's a plant that grows on the earth. And I'm not talking about the marijuana, the THC. Yeah. I'm talking about just the cannabidiol. And how powerful it is for the human body.
Yeah, I think I'm hopeful that the landscape of that discussion is changing. There was an interesting 60 Minutes just this last week, and with the drug that's coming our way, the Epidiolex for childhood epilepsy, I hope that the education changes and that people really understand the difference between the two, marijuana and hemp, because oftentimes they're still getting lumped in the same discussion, and they really should be talked about in separate discussions in a lot of instances.
I would agree, and I have to tell you, I'm looking at this book that I also bought, Cancer Therapies, Outside the Box, Thinking Outside the Box, Alternative Therapies that Treat and Prevent Cancer. In here, he talks about all kinds of stuff, and one of them, astragalus, Dr. Andrew Weil has talked about how powerful of a supplement that is for many, many years, and then cannabinoids. It's just, you got to get a copy of this book, because anyone who wants to prevent cancer, I think this is a great place to start. Is Cancer Therapies by Dr. Mark Stengler. It was on our social media yesterday, I believe. But anyway.
All goes back to the food.
It does. I get so excited when we talk about this stuff. I really do, because it's so important that we get educated so we can shut down all the growing diseases in America. So anyone, stay, anyone.
Anyone out there?
Everyone, stay tuned. Not anyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Just like honey, baby, from the bee.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans, but they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education, and I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagazineonline.com. That's paleomagazineonline.com.
Come on, you guys.
Don't look at
what
me.
What is it? It's Proco.
I'm looking away, too.
Tell me, help me out, Diamond.
Proco Holloway?
Yeah, that's right.
He told me to play this one when Daniel was on one day.
Oh, yeah, that was months ago. Yeah, that's right.
What? Did you think I would know it?
It's an old classic song. I just thought you'd know it. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
She's holding out hope for you, Daniel. Yeah.
I'll recognize like Ring of Fire by, what was his name? Johnny Cash. I'll recognize a lot of his.
Ring of Fire, I like that song.
Then I Hurt Myself Today.
You did?
No, the song. I hurt myself today.
Is that the name of a song?
I think so. I know that's like the chorus or the main part
of
it.
Did he hurt himself in prison or on the street?
No, he's saying he hurt himself today so he knows he can still feel. I don't know. It's just it's a famous Johnny Cash song.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to have to find it and play it. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. I'm in studio today with Daniel Tagg and Jill Lane. Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center here in Dallas, Texas. He is certified in orthokinetics mm-hmm. and the biomechanics of resistance training. He holds belts in three different martial arts systems and was a wild Upland firefighter. Jill Lane is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach, and founder of Fueling Champions, which is a three-step sports performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents that support them. You can find Jill at fuelingchampions.org. That's fuelingchampions.org. So we're talking about the most common nutrient deficiencies, continuing from last week. So what deficiencies do you see the most?
Hands down, vitamin D. Hands down, across the board. I don't think I've ever seen a normal vitamin D level on the first pass testing ever in the people's tests I see.
Well, it's funny, and I want to bring this up because I was reading something last night. A friend of mine posted some research, okay, but it was about vitamin D and belly fat, and that people that have more belly fat have less vitamin D. Well, that makes sense because I was thinking that if you are out and about and you're like, I think about you guys, okay, so you're hikers, you know, you like getting outdoors. I do too. None of us have a lot of belly fat. At least it doesn't look like you do, Jill, from here. I'm just
suck it in.
But my point is, if you're outside, you're moving around, you're naturally getting a lot of vitamin D. People that have
active lifestyles.
Yes. Thank you. Would have less belly fat, and people that don't would have that more belly fat and less vitamin D because they're not out, you know, they're not outside doing stuff, nor are they really probably taking care of themselves as they should.
Well, I mean, to your point, the primary source of vitamin D is exposure to the sun, and we do a conversion just from that exposure in our skin to make vitamin D. The issue is, though, is that most people are so covered or slathered with sunscreen when they're out in the sun because we're afraid of skin cancer or age spots and all of those sorts of things, that even then you can still be deficient in vitamin D. And so it's like this catch-22. Yes, get outside, be active. In fact, they say the best way, the most exposure or the right amount of exposure is to be big limbs, so arms and legs, 20 to 30 minutes, of course, without getting sunburns. So you need to know your skin type. That is the perfect amount of sun to get each day. But some people don't live in a place where the sun shines all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have, you know, some pause about, okay, I don't want to get burned. I don't want to get too many age spots. So there's some, you know, things associated with that cause us to, you know, wear big hats, wear long sleeves, wear swim shirts, and put on a lot of sunscreen. So it's an amazing, I would think that somebody would show, you know, because all these outdoor people that I work with, all these athletes that train, a lot of males that train outside, you know, they wear shirts, they still come in. And the darker your skin is, the less your body can do that conversion. The more melanin you have in your skin, the harder it is for the sun's rays to penetrate and to make that vitamin D. So it is a higher rate, definitely in African-American populations or any dark skin nationalities. So vitamin D across the board.
Yeah. Well, the way that study was presented, it just seemed to me like the correlation causation did not match.
You were like, no, duh.
No, that's not, it can't be just that. It just didn't make sense to me. And hence the, you know, at the end of the article, it's like, this research has not been blah, 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 or something. I'm like, no kidding. You know, but because people will make broad brush statements like that. And a lot of times they don't really know what they're talking about.
Right.
So,
I mean, I think when it comes to nutrition science, we are still really at the tip of the iceberg. It doesn't mean like some people will say, we don't have enough science to prove all of this. We have more science than ever, but we're still learning so much. So you have to go at everything with an open mind and know that we might not know all of the picture, but we know a lot about vitamin D, and being deficient, chronically deficient in vitamin D bodes really poorly for longevity, for immune health, for cancer prevention, for bone health, for immune. I think I said that for immune health. And so, you know, I see this a lot. What the signs and symptoms might be is that you're just frequently getting sick.
Yeah.
You're a poor healer. If you get injured or you've had an injury, especially if it involves like a broken bone and you were a slow healer to that, that could be a sign of low vitamin D.
Right.
And so, you know, as we go into cold and flu season, we're coming out of it now, but that's one thing I tell people to do is up your vitamin D during that time of the year, just to help make sure your immune system is primed for all that it's about to undergo.
Well, and it's fat soluble, so you have to be kind of sort of careful. I know that I am. You've given me some great guidance over the years. Like I'm going to pull this out of my hat here, but I remember you maybe telling me once that if you're like, say, if you've got the flu, that perhaps you could take 20,000 IU for a day or two, that's it, and then go back to maybe a little bit above the recommended daily allowance?
Yeah, I mean, that's way above it, but I do think you can acutely take large doses.
Once in a while.
Yeah, if you're knocking the door of something like flu,
right,
and you don't want to take something over the counter or go to your doctor for some sort of a shot, you know, that would be an acute way to help with it. It is fat soluble, and some of the people's issues with not some, I've seen people who come in, they've been on D and their level is still low. And
wow,
if that's the case, they have a digestive issue because it is fat soluble. You need to check into your digestive health, because if you're having fat digestion issues, with some people do, if we go back to the pharmaceuticals, a lot of people are on proton pump inhibitors and acid blocking medications, which drastically impacts your ability to digest not just proteins and fats, but minerals. And so you have to check in on digestion. And so if you've been taking D, 2000 or 5000 IUs, and your level is not going up markedly, there's a digestive issue or there's a component there that you need to address.
You're so smart, and you give out such good information. Aren't you loving this?
Mm-hmm.
I really am. I feel like I'm in school, you know, when you come, and it's just so great, because when you start, it's like putting pieces of a puzzle together. When you think about nutrition and fitness, they're all related. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, would say that people that if you want to make a broad brush statement, people that spend more time outdoors are healthier. Period.
They tend to be the people that are moving more, that are
they're
more health conscious, that are more likely to eat better.
Well, because they're in the minute, I don't know about you, but like the minute I walk outdoors, just being outdoors makes me mentally feel better.
Yeah, energetically. I mean, I was thinking this morning just about the science around the energy of grounding, you know, walking outside barefoot in contact with not pavement, but grass and dirt, stuff that's living, you know, on the earth, and hugging trees and stuff that sounds so crazy. But in 5 or 10 years, my prayer is that will be part of medicine, that we will fully embrace the energy of things and understand how we interact with our environment, and that we can't see it, but we measure that in medicine already.
Absolutely.
We use EEGs, we use EKGs, we measure quote unquote energy already. So we need to, like I said earlier, just have an open mind to what we know and what we possibly don't know yet. And I always ask a lot of questions.
And you say hug a tree, talk to a tree. I know this is a crazy story, but it is so true. So one of my magnolia trees on my property, and I absolutely love my trees, I've always named my trees, okay? I talk to my trees. I love my trees. My magnolia tree got hit by lightning, okay, mm-hmm. you guys? And I'm telling you, it was gone. It was gone. And, you know, a couple of different opinions said, oh, that tree's never going to come back. You ought to just pull it up. I'm like, nope, nope, nope. And I just kept praying about it and talking to the tree and wishing it well and sending it energy through the window every morning. And I'm telling you, the tree survived. It bloomed this year for the first time in several years, and it's back.
Well,
and I'm telling you, it's the energy.
They've done studies on self-talking like plants, and it's less about what you're saying and more about the tone.
Yeah.
They've done it with music, with speaking. If you're like, you know, speaking horrible things to a plant all the time, it'll shrivel up and die. And if you're, you know, encouraging it and growing it, it's going to grow.
Yeah.
Or more likely
too. I mean, we were talking about this off air, but that just goes back to the energy by which you do everything, like back in your house and as parenting, as leading your kids, like the tone. I mean, I know I am a tone is my biggest area of weakness with my kids. It's a place I always have to work on, because even though your intention is not for something to be come out negatively, if your tone isn't right,
I
it
have
can
a bad
be perceived
tone
that way.
When I'm telling my kids something,
yeah.
I do.
And I, you know, there's always room to grow, but I think that's so fascinating. I just think it's one of my biggest prayers that in the next, you know, 5 or 10 years that we will start to embrace some of this information that seems so, you know, hippy dippy still,
right,
that we will go, we already measure this.
Yeah.
We do it with some of our devices in medicine. Let's embrace ourselves. Let's get our kids out into the dirt and the sand with their feet and their hands. Let's do it as human beings. Get out of your high rise, get out into the sun, get your vitamin D, move around, touch the grass, lay down in it. Just do it.
I love it. I love it.
Work out outside. That's Bernadette's dream day. Work out outside in the grass, bare feet, with the music and the jump rope.
I'll be partying tonight outside in the pool with the grass.
Nice.
All right, everyone. Jill, thank you so much. Daniel, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed it. A big shout out to our sponsors like Sun Warrior and the H Hemp Company, Paleo Magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Use the code OLR when you go to H Hemp to get 20% off your first order. You want some cannabinoids. Trust me on that. All right, everyone. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.